That school bell tells us it's time for the Warren County Radio Bible School. And I'd invite you at this time to pull up a chair and turn up your radio and become a student in this class. We're going to be studying from a text we find in the book of Zephaniah, chapter 3, and verse 9. For then will I turn to the peoples a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of Jehovah, to serve him with one consent. We're going to be talking today about the importance of a pure language. Now, while you're turning to Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 9 to see that written in your own Bible, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school, and we're letting ourselves be taught by an old preacher that is long gone, E. A. Elam, looking at a Sunday school lesson he wrote for the Sunday of October the 28th, 1923. And he's writing about what Zephaniah said about the need for a pure language. You see, words are signs of ideas. And there's much in the New Testament about the subject of pure language. In the New Testament, this is called sound words. The word sound meaning healthy, wholesome words. They're the words given by the Holy Spirit to the men who wrote the New Testament. Even the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, sound speech, a pattern of sound words, and as it were, the oracles of God. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 3 we read, if any man teacheth a different doctrine, and consent not to the sound words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. Titus chapter 2 and verse 8, in thy doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sound speech, that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of us. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13, hold the pattern of sound words which thou hast heard from me, and faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. And 1 Peter 4 and verse 11, if any man speaketh, speaking as it were the oracles of God, if any man minister, ministering as the strength which God supplieth, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, whose is the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. How could anyone dare hold to the idea that sound words are not important? All are commanded to speak the same thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, Paul wrote, now I beseech you, brethren, through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfected together in the same mind and in the same judgment. The way for us to all speak the same thing is to speak where the Bible speaks, and be silent where the Bible is silent, and to call Bible things by Bible names. We are to preach the Word, and to preach the Gospel, and to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and to do so not in persuasive words of wisdom, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but in words which the Spirit of God teaches. And all are forbidden to know anything else in their preaching and teaching. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Paul says, I determined this for myself, that I would not come again to you with sorrow, For if I make you sorrow, who then is it that maketh me glad, but he that is made sorry by me? And I wrote this very thing, lest when I come I should have sorrow from them of whom I ought to rejoice, having this confidence in you all, that my joy is the joy of you all. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart I wrote unto you with many tears, that ye should not be made sorry, but that ye might know the love which I have more abundantly toward you. But if any hath caused sorrow, he hath caused sorrow not to me, but in part. And I press not too heavily to you all. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. On the other hand, God condemns any deceitful handling of his word, corrupting or making merchandise of the gospel, turning the godliness into a way of gain, perverting the gospel, and wresting the scriptures. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 17 we read, for we are not as many corrupting the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2, we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 3 through 5, if any man teach a different doctrine, and consent not to sound words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is puffed up, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and disputes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, wranglings of men corrupted in mind, and befret of the truth, supposing that godliness is a way of gain. We read in the book of Galatians, chapter 1, and verse 7 through 10, there are some that trouble you, and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven should preach unto you any gospel other than that which we have preached unto you, let him be anathema. As we have said before, so say I now again, if any man preach unto you any gospel other than that which ye have received, let him be anathema. For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? For if I was still pleasing men, I should not be the servant of Christ. And then we read in the book of 2 Peter, chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given to him, wrote unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of things which there are some things hard to be understood, which the ignorant and unsteadfast rest, as they do other scriptures, to their own destruction. We need pure doctrine, and pure doctrine comes, as Zephaniah said, from pure speech. There, too, are certain questions that all are commanded to avoid. We read in 1 Timothy 1, verses 3 and 4, as I exhorted thee to tarry in Ephesus when I was going into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge certain men not to teach a different doctrine, neither to give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions, rather than a dispensation of God which is in faith. So do I now. We read in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7, refuse profane and old wives of fables, and exercise thyself unto godliness. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 verses 3 through 8, we read that if any man teach a different doctrine, and consent not to sound words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the doctrine which is according to godliness, He is puffed up, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and disputes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, wranglings of men, corrupted in mind and bereft of the truth, supposing that godliness is a way of gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and neither can we carry anything out, but having food and covering, we shall be therewith content. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, and then on down to verse 23, we read, "Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them in the sight of the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of them that hear. Give diligence to present thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, handling aright the word of truth. But shun profane babblings, for they proceed further in ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a gangrene, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, men who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrown the faith of some. But foolish and ignorant questions refuse, knowing that they gender strife." And then in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 through 4, we read that the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but having itching ears will heap to themselves teachers after their own lust, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and be turned unto fables. And then we come to the book of Titus. And in Titus chapter 1, verses 10 through 14, "There are many unruly men, vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, men who overthrow whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, a prophet of their own, said, 'Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, idle gluttons.' This testimony is true, for which cause reprove them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men, who turn men away from the truth." Titus chapter 3, verses 9 through 11. Paul admonished Titus, "Shun foolish questionings and genealogies and strifes and fighting about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. A factious man after the first and second admonition refuse, knowing that such a one is perverted and sinneth, being self-condemned." No, we need to avoid all these questions, and to reject and not to do this is to reject the counsel of God against oneself, as much as so refusing to submit to baptism or any other command of God. We read in Luke chapter 7, verses 29 through 30, "And all the people, when they heard, and the publicans justified God, being baptized with the baptism of John, but the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected for themselves the counsel of God, being not baptized of him." And if they reject the counsel of God in not being baptized of him, how much more do we neglect the counsel of God when we do not purify our speech and speak as the oracles of God? The pure speech of the New Testament is necessary today to the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. It is necessary that we use the pure speech so that we can all speak the same things, and that we may all call upon God with one consent. All who do not obey God by using it are responsible to that extent for the confusion, contention, strife, and division that is in this world. Humility, contrition of heart, love of the truth, and trembling at God's word, and reverence and awe for God are absolutely necessary to the pure language of the New Testament. I'm going to read a little piece at the close of this lesson. Well, I'll read this later. We're going to run out of time. I'll complete this lesson on pure speech in our next class.